Hello and welcome back to the Nowhere Office, wherever you are, with me, Julia Hobsbawm.
And me, Stefan Stern.
This is the podcast which looks at the world of work as it is, as it could be, should be, might be, with some of the leading thinkers and doers of the day. Hello and welcome back to Series 6 of the Nowhere Office with me, Julia Hobsbawm.
And me, Stefan Stern. And this series is a little bit different in that we're splitting content between here, your usual free podcast platforms, and some additional material and programme notes for subscribers of a new Nowhere Office presence headed by Julia over on Substack.
Yes, Stefan, we're about to kick off in the usual way with an interview in a minute. In this case, the legendary guru of people management and HR, Josh Bersin. But it's going to be slightly shorter versions here because over on Substack at the Nowhere Office, you'll find lengthier episodes and specially recorded new extra materials so we can separate out subscriber content from these usual episodes, which we will continue with.
And some of the additional material you mentioned, Julia, concerns a certain new book, which I believe you may have had a little hand in creating.
Every job is a dance between human and machine. Working is about many things, money, identity, camaraderie. But it's fundamentally about doing tasks with varying degrees of skill, using technology of one kind or another. I'm classed as a knowledge worker, by which I mean I use my head more than my body to complete my tasks. But I use tools just like someone operating a stove or a lathe does. Even though who I know and what I know accounts for as much of what I do when something goes wrong with my kit, which stops me communicating any of this content, I realise, oh, I can't work. My own production line grinds to a halt. You might like to pre-order my new book, Working Assumptions, What We Thought We Knew About Work Before COVID and Generative AI, and What We Know Now. Head to Amazon.
And jolly good it is too. I've read it already.
Well, he has to say that, poor chap. But like we've been saying, there's some benefits of checking out the Nowhere Office on Substack because I'm doing a few more readings like this over there and some interviews for the Nowhere Office that will appear exclusively on the Nowhere Office at Substack.
So, on with the show. And to kick off Series 6, who better than Josh Bersin, distinguished thought leader and analyst of talent management, HR and the people business? We're focusing quite a lot in this series on people and how the challenges of AI, human behaviour and the global market will all have an impact on jobs and skills.
Here then is a short extract from Josh Bersin's Nowhere Office interview. Okay, well, let's get stuck in. Oh, my husband's just making coffee next door. The working from home era has not completely
ended. I know.
Tell me once again, just while he finishes that. Darling, I'm just hitting record now.
That should be the beginning of the YouTube. My wife never calls me darling.
Does she not?
No, I don't think she's ever said that to me ever.
Is that an English thing?
Yeah, I think so.
Darling or dwelling. Right, well, we it's a quite an unorthodox way to begin an episode of The Nowhere Office. In fact, Josh, you are opening the sixth series of The Nowhere Office. I hope you feel it is as momentous as I do. We've long wanted to interview you on the programme and so delighted that you're joining me from Oakland, California. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here. Virtually.
Welcome from your Nowhere Office to mine.
Right.
For those who don't know Josh Bersin, he is the authoritative voice in people and people management and strategic people management. He has the Josh Bersin Company. He's a strategist. He's widely published. His latest book has been, of course, like the others, a bestseller, Irresistible, The Seven Secrets of the World's Most Enduring Employee-Focused Organizations. We'll ask him to run through those seven secrets. And he is a pretty multimedia commentator on everything to do with the changing landscape of the people management of the work and workplace. Have I even begun to capture that correctly, Josh?
I think you pretty much nailed it.
Is there anything else?
I don't want to be that grandiose. I'm really an industry analyst is the way I think about it. And I really study HR and management and HR technology, but it's turned into a very complicated topic. So it covers many, many things.
Was it ever simple, or did it just seem simple, or was it internal?
Well, yeah, it was. You know, I'll tell you, the reason it used to be simple was when I started doing this in the early 2000s, late 1990s, everybody basically said to me, just tell me what GE is doing because we're going to copy them. And it was unanimous. Everybody just wanted to copy GE. And that's how it's changed over the last 25 years, is nobody wants to copy them. Nobody can copy anybody. Every company's got unique, highly specialized people issues, management issues, technology issues. So the HR domain has turned into a domain of innovation and invention and creative new ideas. And it didn't used to be like that.
But you've just nailed the exact question that interests me, which is, do companies and organizations and C-suites and boards realize that there's no longer one size fits all, or do they actually hanker still for their GE to emulate?
I think based on the research we've done, a good 10 to 15% of companies totally get the fact that everything is changing, the expectations and demands of employees, the labor market, the globalization of the workforce, the part-time contingent nature, they get it. But there's probably 70 to 80% of companies that are either in denial or maybe not paying enough attention and trying to do things the old way. And the symptom of those latter companies is you see them hiring and firing and hiring and firing and going through these painful human capital cycles because they're not adapting fast enough to the expectations of the workforce today. So I think it's filtering around and getting more common. And I think we need examples of really, really forward-thinking companies that are outperforming. I can give you lots of them. And then the other CEOs and CHROs and CFOs want to copy them. So it's not an impossible problem to understand, but I think there's a lot of companies that just don't get it yet.
Wait a second. Did I hear you right that you said 70 to 80%? So the Pareto's law, 80-20 rule.
It's an 80-20.
Inverted. And yep. 80% of the world's leaders and the world's leading companies have not yet woken up and smelled the coffee, which is they all have to individually create strategies around their people, their
products. Yeah, and I think the other thing is I don't want to oversimplify this. It's not as simple as saying, let's buy Zoom and let everybody work from home. It's actually quite complex. How are we going to pay people? What are we going to do about careers when we have five generations of workers? How are we going to reskill people? How are we going to redeploy people into new technologies or businesses? How are we going to deal with issues of income inequality and diversity? And these are kind of complicated problems, but they're being solved by many, many companies. And the people that I particularly support, human capital, HR people, are really being forced to step up and really rethink a lot of these GE-style older ideas, which we call them the industrial age, management practices, into what we call the post-industrial age ideas. So it's an exciting time, and I think it's a lot of change is really happening.
How do you typically work with organizations?
So we do a lot of research and on many, many topics of HR and management, and they usually, see something we wrote somewhere and they'll reach out to us and say, can we talk to you? And then they'll, sort of spill their guts and say, we're having this problem or that problem, or we're confused about this. And then we talk to them. And our business model is a corporate membership. So they get access to all of our IP and content. And we actually have an AI platform called Galileo. And they can go in there and they can talk to Galileo and ask it any question they want. And it'll explain to them what's going on and give them case studies and examples and talk about technologies. But that's our business model.
And Galileo, did you have to, just to jump in with a killer question, did you have to lay anybody off in order to get Galileo up and running, Josh, or did you create Galileo as an add-on?
And on that tantalizing note, we invite you to head over to the Noah Office on Substack to subscribe, to continue listening, and to become a paid subscriber for even more juicy, exclusive content relating to work and the workplace.
Yes, for instance, on the Noah Office on Substack, I think you're getting the message, we've got an exclusive interview coming up with Dan Bladen, founder of Cadence, one of the new generation of AI companies transforming the way we schedule meetings with each other in the hybrid age. We've got a ton of brilliant voices lined up for you in this series here, including Kiana Schmiedel, the Chief Human Experience Officer, what a title, of human capital management software company WorkHuman, which is big in the employee engagement and reward space. And we are going to focus a lot on the humans managing the human resource or people management space because it is so critical.
And more besides. So welcome back to you and to us, and see you again soon here on Substack, on LinkedIn, X, formerly Twitter, and of course, YouTube. This has been a fully connected production, edited by Kevin Hirshon and executive produced, as ever, by Julia Hobsbawm. Bye for now.
Yes, bye for now.